did know. No, there's a way. Now, what way it is, I know, I can't. I don't remember.
Same one, what his name had over there?
Oh, yeah, it was a 7.5 roll.
Yeah, same as,
You're not talking loud enough, Mac. I can't hear you.
Well, turn up your volume.
Turn up the volume so your director can hear what you're saying. You're laying down on your back. And
I'm laying down on my job, is what I'm doing. He's got it on tape now, so, I mean.
The man is in a prone position.
But he wanted us to drop from underneath.
He wanted the worm's eye view.
McCarty was the only one who could really get down that low to do it.
I don't know. I think I can qualify on that. Long time.
You ready? You want to write it and say the same thing?
Just give me the... A description solenoid thruster valve on that.
Now.
Scene 1 shows a velocity vector indicator. He starts out the scene by pointing at the manual potentiometer, which gives the direction of the CG of the vehicle. And there's a cam-driven micro switch, which gives timing pips, which can be directly calibrated to give the velocity of the CG of the vehicle. Scene 2 shows the solenoid valves used to provide propulsive power for the vehicles. The following is a description of the purpose and some general background on the vehicles and the overall facility. The purpose is to investigate breadboard Apollo docking hardware concepts and their effect on vehicle dynamics. We're primarily interested only in contact and post-contact dynamics. The simulator's purpose is not by any means to train a man, but only to investigate hardware at contact and after contact. Some background. All docking maneuvers are made in the yaw plane only, and the translunar docking maneuver is simulated. The vehicles employed in the tests are 1/2 scale representations of the command service module and the LIM-S4B geometry when viewed in the yaw plane. An onboard coal gas reaction control system is used. The thrusters are the solenoid valves mentioned previously. model thrust is approximately 1/100th of prototype thrust. To hit the vehicle's maneuver on air bearings, the supply gas for the bearings is carried on board. It's common supply with the RCS gas. The gas, by the way, is nitrogen, compressed nitrogen. All systems, except for the data recording system, are on board. The only tether to the vehicles is a suspended overhead data umbilical cord. The operation of the vehicles is roughly as follows. There's a pilot on the command service module model. He tries to fly a vectored run into the contact point. He's trying to establish a known set of boundary conditions at contact. If he does not succeed in achieving the boundary condition goal, he's drawn back and told to fly it again. In other words, the pilot's only function is to achieve boundary conditions that are prescribed at contact. The pilot on the LIM S4B model is serving the function of a servo mechanism, attitude hold servo mechanism. During the translunar dock, of course, there is no pilot on the LIM S4B. Our man simply watches a compass and tries to maintain the LIM S4B attitude to some plus or minus 5 degrees from its initial attitude prior to contact. The thrusters on the LIM are ratioed down from the actual prototype LIM S4B combination. The arrangement of the thrusters on the LIM S4B is not an exact replica of prototype LIM S4B thrusters, in that the prototype LIM S4B thruster setup is capable of not only controlling the attitude but also providing a translational force. Our vehicle here can only torque, has no translational capability at all until it is contacted by the command service module. The hardware that will be seen, the first hardware is a MSC designed and constructed impact system. Goes by the name of ring and cone impact system. It employs 6 shock absorbers arranged in a geometry somewhat similar to that of the Gemini. It is not a duplication of the Gemini docking system by any means. The second hardware that will be seen will be a version of the North American Probe and Drogue. This is a two-dimensional version of their unit. Its operation will be seen in 2 modes, one with a fixed shock, the other with a pivoted shock strut. The version, representation of the crew transfer tunnel will be left off the command service module firewall in some instances so that a better view is obtained of the docking hardware during contact. A visual simulation is provided to offset the pilot's eyeballs to the right, rather to the left of the center line, to 1/2 the distance that his eyeballs would be offset from the center line in the actual prototype. Magnification to move the pilot's eyeballs forward to the right spot is achieved by making the target larger than it actually would be. The window profile is a half-scale representation of full-scale prototype window and is slanted to give the same field of view that the full-scale prototype window would give. Okay. There's 2 docking concepts we're using. One,
two kinds of docking hardware that we're looking at in this film. The first setup is called a ring and cone. It's a Gemini adaption. It's using six shock absorbers, a ring, half scale ring, shock strokes and so forth are half scale. This concept suffers from one bad feature in that during a dock at the, or attempted dock at the outer edge of the docking envelope, it will sometimes grab, as you can see in the film, one latch and pivot away before the other latch has time to grab. On the probe and drogue hardware, which is a two-dimensional version of North American thinking some 2 months ago, which time the three-dimensional hardware was actually four alignment arms. This outfit is half-scale also. Shock stroke, so forth, are half-scale. The alignment arms are half-scale on the length. The springs are just a crude guess at what spring constant should be in there. At any rate, the main thing to point out here is that there's two modes of operation currently undergoing argument. The first scene on the movies is a fixed shock configuration in which the shock absorber or the shock strut does not pivot. You can see when attempting a dock at conditions of, say, 1 foot per second longitudinal velocity, half a foot per second transverse velocity, 1 degree a second angular velocity, some 10 degrees misalignment at contact, some 6 inches or so radial misalignment. At the fixed shock configuration tends to not aid at all in the docking maneuver. The entire command service module would have to jump around sideways some 2 or 3 feet in order for the shock to have time to jump into the hole and the latches grab it. The second version, the second look we took at this hardware, and the second consecutively in the film, shows the shock pivoted to some degree. There are stops on each side of it. And the shock is allowed to pivot some 1 inch to either side of its equilibrium position. You see that this case does not help too much either at a worst condition dock, which is the 1 foot per second longitudinal, the half a foot per second transverse, the 1 degree a second rotational velocity, the angular misalignment of some 10 degrees, and the radial misalignment. But when we go all the way to a completely free pivoting shock with the green bungees providing centerline alignment after contact, the shock absorber at contact jumps sideways of its own accord without affecting the vehicle motion, jumps into the target, and the latches grab it, and so forth. Current thinking right now is that the pivoted shock configuration is superior to the unpivoted shock, but if the shock is allowed to pivot with the present alignment arm geometry, the alignment arms impact the crew transfer tunnel. We've left the tunnel off of this PAO film here because cameras don't get any look at the shock in action. Anything else you need to know, you'll just have to ask me. You can get me at Larry Green 7381 10-4.
The city. The first case of anthrax. A disease of animals in 11 years was reported today, highly contagious. The disease can also be contacted by man. There's a vaccine against the disease for animals, but not for human beings. The Aldine area has been warned of the danger. KXYZ 10-point weather for Houston and vicinity, mostly cloudy, with widely scattered showers tonight and Thursday. A little warmer tonight, with fresh to occasionally strong southerly wind shifting to northerly late Thursday. A low expected in the morning of 56 degrees, tomorrow's high 70. The wind is south-southeast at 22 miles per hour. At the airport it's 66 degrees, and downtown Houston under cloudy skies, 66 degrees. Matt Brown reporting, next KXYZ News at 5 o'clock. And now, KXYZ Music. Of the Sabre Dance, as performed by the Berlin Promenade Orchestra on KXYZ Music 132. This is Fred Mayha speaking for Spartan Aluminum Building Products, inviting you to be my guest at 6 p.m. every day, Monday through Friday, on KXYZ, and at 7 a.m. with the morning newspaper of the air.
80.